Israel presents.
Come in. Welcome.
Shalom, and welcome to another issue of Torah Tidbits Audio. I'm your host, Phil Chernofsky, and this show is for Parshat Akev. Today, recording and first broadcast is Yom Chamishi, Thursday, the 16th of Menachem Av, Tet Zayin. Yesterday was Tu B'Av. It is August 6th. Summer is creeping along at too quickly a pace for many people, I would imagine. Nonetheless, this is the week of Parshat Akev. Last week we recorded on Tisha B'Av, actually right before Tisha B'Av, for Tisha B'Av, and one of the things I said then was I would play a song for Parshat Vo'etchanan, which I couldn't because of Tisha B'Av, but I hope to play it for you for this week's Parshat Akev. You will see that Akev makes a good partnership with Vo'etchanan anyway, if I needed an excuse. In the meantime, let us say Tehillim Kuf Lamed Psalm 130. Shir Hama'alot Mima'amakim Karaticha Adonai. Adonai Shima V'Koli Tehiyena Oznecha Kashuvot L'Kol Tachanunai. Im Avonot Tishmor Yah Adonai Miya Amod Ki Imcha Hasalicha L'Ma'an Tivarei. Ki Viti Adonai Kiveta Nafshi V'Lidvoro Hocholti. Nafshi ladonai, mishomerim laboker, shomerim laboker. Yachel Yisrael el Adonai, ki im Adonai hachesed v'harbe imo fedut. V'hu yifde et Yisrael, mikol avonotav. Achenu kol beit Yisrael, hanetunim batzara uvashivya, haomedim bein bayam uvein bayabasha. Hamakom yirachem aleihem, v'yotzieim mitzara lirvacha umeafela l'ora, ומשיבוד לגאולה, השתה בעגלה ובזמן קריב, ונאמר אמן. Now, I said a while back that the parshiot of Devarim, Vo'etchanan, and Akev make up the first section of the book of Devarim, the first part of Moshe Rabbeinu's farewell address to the Jewish people. That part which contains introduction, fundamentals of Judaism, basic concepts of Judaism, and the brief but colorful history of the previous 40 years since the Exodus to the moment that the people are poised on the boundary of Eretz Yisrael about to cross the Jordan River. As a side point, I don't think it's a side point, really. Picture in your mind's eye Moshe Rabbeinu addressing the multitude of people. This multitude, if everybody showed up for this address, we're talking 2 to 3 million people. 600,000 plus males from age 20 and up, plus women and children, and you're talking 2 to 3 million people. What's remarkable at this point that Moshe Rabbeinu is speaking to them, Aharon has already died. In fact, in Parshat Akev, he refers to him again. Miriam has died. Every single person who would not be entering the land of Israel has already died, with one exception. Moshe Rabbeinu, in the presence of 2 to 3 million people, every single one of them who was going to cross the Jordan River, well, technically except for the families of the tribes of Reuven and Gad, who would be staying on the east bank, but let's not mention that, which I did, of course, so it doesn't spoil the image. The image is of Moshe being the only one of this multitude who will not be crossing the Jordan. and he makes it his business to say to them over and over again how very special it is to cross the Jordan. That was the beginning of last week's Sedra, and it carries through to the way he speaks to the people and the message that he tries to convey to them. Now, I want to go back. So that's my tie between Devarim V'Etchanan and Ekev. Ekev and V'Etchanan have an additional tie of Kriyat Shema. We start the first passage of Kriyat Shema. We find in the end of V'Etchanan, Shema Yisrael and V'Ahavta at Hashem Elokecha. In Parshat Ekev, we find V'Hoya Im Shamoa Tishmu El Mitzvotai. The second passage of Shema, these two passages are the content of the kosher mezuzah of every Jewish home around the world. These two parshiot are the two out of the three which we say at least twice a day in fulfillment of the mitzvah to recite Shema. They contain an acknowledgement and a reconfirmation of our belief in one God, in acceptance of the yoke of heaven, and in the case of Ekev with V'Hoya Im Shamoa, the acceptance of the yoke of mitzvot. So perhaps that's another connection. The repeated reference to the value of mitzvot performed in the land of Israel, promises from God for our fulfillment of mitzvot and following Him are for the land of Israel. If you think about that for a moment, I'm digressing a little, but think about it. We have repeated promises by God in the Torah that if we keep the mitzvot, then we will flourish as a nation, then we will have bountiful crops, then we will have plentiful rainfall, and all kind of good things, peace and security, and wonderful, wonderful things. But look at the fine print. I say that with a little bit of sarcasm because it's as big print as the rest of it. In the land to which I am taking you, in the land I promised your ancestors, in the land I am giving you. Over and over and over again, the Torah makes a very strong point. Following God, you have to do no matter where you are. But promises of a good life for following God in the land of Israel. So that perhaps is another common feature between V'Etchanan and Ekev. Now I want to go back to V'Etchanan because of the song I mentioned, Ata Horeta by Ira Heller. If I was pushed to give my all-time favorite Jewish song, and I was not allowed to say, how about if I tell you my top 10? Even that I find difficult, although I did come up with a list once. And the person says to me, no, we want the one song you want to hear more than any other song. You mean if I choose that song, I can't hear Chamol al Ma'asecha, Eitz Chaim Hila Machazikim Ba, I can't hear Tinotzel Nafshi, all songs that I love, Shivchi Kamayim Libech, of course, all depending upon which melody. But if I had to choose one, it is likely, I won't say now for sure, but it is very likely that I would choose Ira Heller's Ata Horeta. I've played it here before. I would like to put it into context, because not only is it part of Parshat V'Etchanan, it was part of Parshat V'Etchanan, which made up the Torah reading of the morning of Tisha B'Av, where Moshe is giving a reproach to the people, Ki tolid banim uvnei vanim, when you have children and grandchildren and have been established in the land for a long time, you might become decadent and might and make a statute of some image committing an evil act in the eyes of God and making him angry. And he wasn't saying, it might happen. He was hoping that it would never happen, but prophesying, really, that it would. And part of this reproach is a heartrending series of verses to the people. I'll read you some of them in English. First, the Hebrew part of that. Ki sha'alna liyamim rishonim asher hayu lefanecha. You might inquire upon times long past, going back to the time that God created man on earth, exploring one end of the heavens to the other, see if anything as great as this ever happened, or if the like has ever been heard. Has any nation ever heard God speaking out of fire, as you have, and still survived? Has God ever done miracles, bringing one nation, the people of Israel, out of another nation, Egypt, with such tremendous miracles, signs, wonders, war, a mighty hand and an outstretched arm, and terrifying phenomena, as God did for you in Egypt before your very eyes? And here's the pasuk. You are the ones who have been shown, so that you will know that God is the supreme being, and there is none besides him. Ata horeita ladat, ki Hashem hu ha'elokim, ein od milavado. And therefore, in this presentation of reproach to the people, it's like saying, but how could you? How can you turn away from God? It boggles the mind, Moshe Rabbeinu is saying, that you of all people, you meaning us, the people of Israel, you of all people who have witnessed wonders of God on a daily basis. What did you have for breakfast? Mun. What did you have for lunch? Mun. How did it taste? Like anything you wanted it to taste. It was a miraculous food that you've been eating for close to 40 years. Protection from the elements with the heavenly clouds of glory. Clothes that grew with you. Shoes that never wore out. Water that miraculously accompanied you and appeared whenever you needed it. How can you turn away from God? You of all people, ata horeita ladat, ki Hashem hu ha'elokim. You were shown that God is the supreme being. Ein od milavado. There is no other besides him. This verse, which is from Parshat Vayetchanan, is the opening verse for the opening of the Ark on Shabbat and holidays in what's called Nusach Sfard. Nusach Ashkenaz does not use this verse. We start with Ein Kamocha. And we use this verse of Ata Horeita just on Simchat Torah. One way or the other, it's in Vayetchanan, it's said when you take out the Torah, or it's special. For Simchat Torah, it is a statement, among others, of our belief in the uniqueness of God, in His absolute unity. He is Elohim, Ein Od Milavado. Ira Heller. Ah. You know, when we read these kind of passages in the Torah, it's very, very hard to imagine how the people reacted, how they behaved the way they did. And we really have to, maybe it's the only constructive way to handle this, by saying, I don't know what went wrong, but I at least will do my share and more than my share to see that these things never ever happen. That we should have children and grandchildren and great-grandchildren and have all kind of good things and remain faithful to God. But if you look in this week's Parsha of Akev, Moshe Rabbeinu is acknowledging that in the past, people have turned against God, so to speak, in times of troubles. No food, no water, threat of an enemy. And then he says, you have another risk to run. You'll come into the land of Israel, you'll conquer, you'll settle, you'll move into some houses that are already there, luxurious accommodations that you didn't build on your own, and you might get arrogant and get to that point of saying, look what I have accomplished. Don't forget God. You can't forget God in times of trouble, and you can't forget God in times of good and plenty. It has to be a constant faith, belief, trust, acknowledgement of God's supremacy, and the fact that every single thing in this world comes from Him. It sounds trite even to say it, but this is the reason that we have a mitzvah to say, Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad, every single day. This is the reason that you read the Torah in a yearly cycle, and you go through the whole Torah, and that you study Torah, and you analyze verses, and hopefully the commitment becomes stronger and stronger for you, and to teach your children and your children's children. And that means not only biological children, it means students, and it means friends. And this is the major Talmud Torah, Keneged Kulam. we have in the second passage of Shema, that we teach these words to our children. It means we study them ourselves, and hopefully we continue to grow and stay far away from the terrible behavior that blotched our history throughout. We'll be right back.
Listening to
Torah Tidbits Audio.
Rest your eyes.
Okay, we're back. Let's take a look into Parshat Ekev. Ekev sets down at the beginning a deal from God to the people of Israel, a deal we've heard before. And we hear again, if only you listen to these laws, safeguarding and keeping them, then God will keep in mind the covenant and love with which he made an oath to your fathers. He will love you, bless you, and make you numerous. He will bless the fruit of your womb and the fruit of your land, your grain, your wine, your oil, the calves of your herds, and the lambs of your flocks, in the land that he promised your fathers that he would give to you. This is a deal. If we stay faithful to God, we keep the land. If we stay faithful to God and keep the land, it will be good for us in the land. I mentioned before, over and over again, no promises for living anywhere else. The promises of the Torah are for the land of Israel if we keep the mitzvot, if we follow God, if we don't turn away from him, etc., etc. Moshe Rabbeinu continues his talk to them and then describes the land that God is bringing us to. Hashem, your God, is bringing you to a good land, a land with flowing streams and underground springs gushing out in valley and mountain. It is a land of wheat, barley, grapes, figs, and pomegranates, a land of oil, olives, and honey dates. It is a land where you will not eat rationed bread, and you will not lack anything, a land whose stones are iron, and from whose mountains you will quarry copper. When you eat and are satisfied, you must therefore bless God your Lord for the good land that he has given you. Let's take a look at some of this. We'll start with the last verse I just quoted. That was the English translation by Rav Aryeh Kaplan Zal in the Living Torah. In the original Hebrew, V'yochalta V'savata, Uveirachta et Adonai Elohecha al ha'aretz hatova asher natan lach. Eat and be satisfied, and you have an obligation to bless God for the good land which he has given you. Now, first of all, we learn from this verse the mitzvah of Birkat HaMazon, the afterbracha of a meal, that when a person eats a satisfying meal, he is required to thank God and acknowledge him for it. Now, according to the wording in this verse, he is to thank God for the land of Israel. But in our oral law, we learn that it is a multi-leveled acknowledgement and thanks from God, first and foremost for the food of which we have just partaken. In fact, the first blessing, the first bracha of Birkat HaMazon, what's known as the grace after meals, acknowledges God as the provider of sustenance to all living creatures. Baruch Ato Hashem, Hazon et Hakol, he sustains and feeds everyone. That's humans, and that's the animal world as well. No mention in that first blessing of the land of Israel, which the verse commands us to thank God for, to bless God for, but that comes as the second step. The first blessing of Birkat HaMazon is attributed to Moshe Rabbeinu in acknowledgement of the Midbar's form of food, namely the manna, the mun, and it gets translated into the food from the ground, which we will produce and harvest when we get into the land of Israel. That's the first level of acknowledgement of God. It is to Yehoshua bin Nun, Moshe's successor, the leader of the people who took them, us, into the land of Israel, who added an important dimension to the thanking of God, and it manifests itself in the final words of the second blessing of Birkat HaMazon, Al Ha'aretz V'Al HaMazon. We thank God and acknowledge God for the food and the land. In that passage, the second blessing, we acknowledge God for giving us Torah and mitzvot. Brit Milah is mentioned specifically, for giving us the land and the food from the land. Does one have to say Birkat HaMazon, say thank you to God, when he lives outside of Israel? For sure. But the wording of the pasuk is another point that says this land of Israel is where God wants us to be. Wanted, wants us, and will always want us to be. This is the place where Birkat HaMazon, based on the verse in the Torah, makes sense. Eat a satisfying meal and bless God for the goodly land which he gives you. You have to bless this land no matter where you live, but take it from me, it's a powerful thing when you live here and you say it, then the pasuk, the verse, comes alive in a very special way. The third blessing of Birkat HaMazon is attributed to David HaMelech and to Shlomo HaMelech, King David and King Solomon, and we add the dimension of Jerusalem, the holy city, and the Beit HaMikdash, the holy temple, in Jerusalem. It's a package deal. We thank God for this all, and before I continue in what explodes from this concept of Birkat HaMazon, let's have a track from an album by Shea Rubinstein. The song is the Shir HaMa'alot, the psalm which is said as an introduction to Birkat HaMazon on Shabbat and festive days, and it really ties in to this verse. If Birkat HaMazon would be nothing more than thanking God for the food, we would not have the connection in this context to the land, to Jerusalem, to the temple. But with the temple destroyed and the people in exile, our sages took from the Book of Psalms as an introduction, acknowledging the destruction of the Beit HaMikdash on weekdays in the form of Al Naharot Bavel by the river of Babylon. The people cried, how can we sing on foreign soil? And Im Eshkachech Yerushalayim, if I forget thee, O Jerusalem, etc., etc. On Shabbat, it was not considered appropriate to use that particular psalm in mourning, really, the destruction of the Beit HaMikdash. So instead, a different psalm was chosen, one that projects, anticipates, prays for the final redemption, the Geulah Shleimah, when the Beit HaMikdash will be rebuilt and Jerusalem will be restored to its glory, and that becomes the expression that leads us into Birkat HaMazon, which essentially is thanking God for the food and the land of Israel and the Torah and our covenant with Him. That's a lot, but it's all there. Shia Rubinstein with Shir HaMa'alot.
Oyoy b'shuv Hashem shev asiyoy, b'shuv Hashem shev asiyoy, hayinu kecholem. Ra-ra-ra-ra-ra, shir hamalos. Oyoy b'shuv Hashem shev asiyoy, b'shuv Hashem shev asiyoy, hayinu kecholem. Az gemalos v'ikvino, bol shenei.
I mentioned earlier that Parshat Ekev belongs to that first portion of the Book of Devarim, which has the fundamentals of Judaism reviewed. One of those fundamentals, or two of those fundamentals that really can be combined into one, are prayer and blessing. I look at a bracha, a blessing, as a miniature prayer. Let's digress for a moment on that point. when a Jew is about to take a sip of water because he is thirsty, he pauses for a moment and recites a 9-word blessing, which in essence is a 9-word prayer, which is a phenomenally involved reaffirmation of a Jew's belief. Baruch, blessed, Atah Hashem. You, God, are blessed. Some interpret that to mean that you are the source of all blessing. Who is God? We say, we continue, Elokeinu, our God, Melech Haolam, King of the Universe, Shehakol Nihya Bidvaro, that everything that exists came into existence by God's word, by his command. Bereshit bara Elokim et hashamayim ve'et ha'aretz. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth and everything in it. It is a powerful statement of faith for a sip of water. Yes, we say it when we sit down to a nice juicy steak as well. And there are different blessings for bread and for pastries and for wine, fruit of the tree, fruit of the ground. But I'm now looking at one bracha, the catch-all bracha of food. I am looking at the bracha called Shehakol, that everything that exists, exists because God said so. Before we say that, we acknowledge God as the source of all blessing, as our God, and as Master and King of the universe. For a sip of water. Now back to the Torah. The Torah said, V'yachalta v'savata. You will eat and be satisfied. That means you sit down to a meal, you break bread, you have an appetizer, you have salad, maybe a soup, a main dish with side dishes, a nice dessert, and a glass of wine, and a nice, full, satisfying meal, the Torah requires you to acknowledge with Birkat HaMazon. Come, our sages, and say, we are inspired by the Torah to go a number of steps further. First of all, even when you are not satisfied, you still acknowledge God with an after bracha. And even before you eat, so you don't even know whether you're going to be satisfied or not, but before you eat any quantity of food or drink any amount of drink, acknowledge God as the source of blessing, as our God, as King of the universe, and his relationship to the food we are about to partake of which we are about to partake. How's that for radio etiquette? But I say, in my example, a sip of wine, a sip of water. The sages were the ones who said, not enough. I mean, God commanded us to do it with a satisfying meal. We feel that it's not enough. We need to acknowledge God for every morsel that we eat, satisfied or not, for fragrant smells from nature, from all kind of other experiences in nature. I mean, drifting again, but think about this for a moment. You go to lofty mountains. You're a city boy not living near mountains. You go on a trip, and there in front of you are majestic mountain peaks, snow-covered. You look on in awe, and you say, God, my God, King of the universe, this is how it is in his world. A blessing for seeing something magnificent. There are limits to all of these. There are guidelines. I shouldn't say limits. There are guidelines. And that belongs to the rules of blessings. I am talking about the idea, the concept. The concept all explodes like a magnificent piece of popcorn from V'achalta V'savata U'V'rachta Hashem Elokecha. And it goes on and on. There's a whole body of study called the Laws of Blessings. What do you do when you have a bottle of water with you on a hot day in the summer, and you make a blessing and you take your first sip, and then you're carrying it with you, and you take another sip, and you're carrying it with you more, and you take another sip, and you get onto the bus and you have a sip on the bus, and you get off the bus and you go to your work and you have a sip there? Are these covered all by one bracha? Do you have to say a bracha each time? Not for now. It's one of the many, many questions that come there. What blessing do you make on blueberries? Blueberries grow on a bush that has the halachic status of a tree, and you make a borei pri ha'etz. Cranberries too? No, cranberries grow on a very, very low shrub, which is considered part of the ground, and we make a borei pri ha'adama. When you have two foods to eat, which one do you say the bracha on first? When you have two foods of the same bracha, which one gets the honor of making the bracha? How much food do you need to eat in what period of time before you are required to say an after bracha? Which after bracha do you say? What does it cover? All of this belongs to the body of study of Hilchot Brachot. But the concept that the Torah teaches us and our sages picked up the ball and ran with it, of acknowledging God for everything in this world. Since both prayer and blessings come from Parshat Ekev, we will jump from one to the other. You wake up in the morning, and the very first thing you do before you get out of bed, barely rubbing the sleep out of your eyes, not even then, first thing you do is acknowledge God, Modeh Ani Lefanecha, I acknowledge before you, Melech Chai V'Kayam, an eternal living king, that you have restored the soul to my body, B'Chemla, with kindness, Rabba Emunatecha, you're very, very generous. And from that moment, all through the day, the observant Jew is acknowledging God for this, for that, praying to God. And that means, I mean, he's doing plenty of other things also. But there is an awareness of this obligation to acknowledge God for everything. And when a fellow Jew hears a blessing, he says, I agree with that as well. Amen. It looks like we ran out of time. Happens all the time. What can we do? I wish you a Shabbat Shalom. Lehishtameah.